Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Comics Experience Make Comics podcast. How's it going, Andy?
It's going good.
With the end of the year wrap-up, we last episode looked at where things have gone for Comics Experience and folks that are involved with Comics Experience publishing and the workshops and the classes. We thought this would be a nice time to kind of sit back, look at, you know, things, where things were last episode, but think about what can be done for moving forward, which is always something that, you know, you tend to think about this time of year. And I know that I set some goals last year and for the most part have stuck to them, and that was really good for me as an exercise. I know in terms of publishing plans and in terms of writing and in terms of thinking of conventions and how am I going to pitch to an editor, all that's so pre-planned. Even if it's just a month out, even if it's 3 months out, it's still something where you need to look at a big picture. And I'm actually curious, you know, we didn't talk about this directly before we started recording, but I'm actually curious, you know, having done a year of publishing, how you look at this year, or if you look at it any differently in your planning.
Well, yeah, I mean, from the publishing program side, yeah, of course I'm looking at it differently, because now I've got I don't have probably a full year's worth of data, because the data kind of rolls in a little, you know, after the fact. But I got a lot of data. You know, I've got complete data from our first two projects, Creature Cops and then on Drones, and I've got a fair amount of data on Ted, and a lot of anecdotal stuff, you know, how the books are being reviewed, you know, how they sell, you know, and a lot of that stuff too is like, you know, the size of the ads in the catalog and what we pay for those and what's the cost benefit analysis of that versus the cost benefit analysis of, you know, we did a mailer, we mailed a flyer and a letter out to several hundred stores, and you know, we've done all kinds of stuff like that. And with everything that we do, I've been tracking and seeing what works, what's most effective, what's least effective. So with every project, we get more efficient and we get better at getting the word out. And each project is getting sort of bigger than the previous one. And that doesn't mean that the previous ones were lesser projects. It just means that the program is getting traction.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, as much as you would love for something to come out and be a big splash and a big hit, you know, my experience has been that rarely happens. I mean, that happens if you have something that's an established property, right? I mean, you do a sequel to a big thing and it's a big thing. But, you know, for Comics Experience, I started small. When I started the company, I was running around New York City with a baby strapped to my chest, looking for space that I could rent for a night here and a night there to, you know, I mean, and I started doing one class that turned into two, that turned into four, that turned into, you know, more. Then we took it online. You know, these things have all the things for Comics Experience have started small, but they've grown organically and they grow steadily, and we put the quality in and we kind of promote and let people talk about it and the word gets out. And so that's been the case. It's been the case here. And I don't want to make it sound like sales have been bad. Sales have actually been quite good for a new publisher, and B, you know, new projects on top of that, you know, don't have it, you know, where they're not licensed books or creator owned and they're brand new. So sales have been really good. The whole program as a whole, I think, has been good for the creators. I think it's been good for, you know, Comics Experience. I think it's been good for the industry as some of those creators are going on and there's new blood going into the industry. And that really is a big part of the goal from a global strategy.
Right. And I think that so much of that, you know, you can kind of parse out in terms of, you know, for folks listening, obviously not everybody's self-publishing necessarily the way that you are, or publishing the way that you are, but the lessons learned, you know, each year, gosh, comics can feel so exponential in your growth, and then you can come into a not stagnation, but you feel, because you don't see those trends as much, because you started off strong and you hit with this and you hit with this, and then life happens, you slow down, you start to develop something and you're still developing, you know, you start to lose a little bit of the momentum sometimes. And I think that that's something that I come back to as a person doing comics that has a side job and a family, is trying to keep, keep those fire stoked to, you know, continue it and look, you know, take that moment to actually reflect and look back and go, well, here's where you were a year ago. Here's where you were 2 years ago. Where do you want to be in a year? Where do you want to be in 2 years? And how do you set yourself up to try to get that? I know that people listening, you know, are from different countries, different goals, writers, artists, letters, colorists. People are trying to do different things, but I think there's some universality to that goal setting and planning to move forward. With the experience you've had through the work that you've done, is there kind of a common theme that you run into or anything that you advise people in terms of thinking about planning for, say, a year or for a larger period of time about how to move their career forward?
Yeah, I mean, what I run into a lot is I run into people who say, now's the time, I'm going all in, and I'm making a giant change. And that does work for some people. You know, I think years ago when I was still doing the classes live, you know, Nick, and only in New York City, Nick Spencer quit his job and moved to New York to take the class, to take the intro to writing class. And he was just so determined, right? I mean, he comes into class, and I'd spoken with him beforehand when he signed up for it and everything, and he comes into class, and so I knew who he was. He hadn't published anything yet, but just from the conversations, I knew who he was. But he was just so, like, he was clearly so determined.
Right.
You know, he'd already, like, he was all in, you know, and so it was like, if this is going to work for somebody, it better work for you, because you don't have a backup plan. And it worked great for him because he was all in, and he was able to do that. You know, he didn't have other people that were financially dependent on him and things like that. He was at a point in his life where he could take that kind of a gamble.
Right.
Many of us are not, myself included. And I'm like that. You know, I'll do that. I'll put on a few pounds, and I'll say to my wife, I'm going to work out 2 hours every day for the rest of my life, and I'll make it my top priority. Well, that lasts for about 3 days.
Right.
And then it doesn't, because it's just not sustainable. And so for most mere mortals, the things that we want to do are we want to set realistic and achievable goals. So instead of working out, trying to say I'm going to work out 14 hours a week, start working out 2 hours a week, right? And stick to it, and do make it a priority, but do something that you can fit into your life. The other thing is that a lot of people go, okay, well, I'm going to add this in. I'm going to do 2 hours a week of comic art, or I'm going to do 5 hours a week of comic art. I'm going to do 2 hours a week of comics writing. That's 7 hours. That's a whole day of work where you're sitting at a table. So where is that time going to come from?
Right.
So one of the things that I do, and I've talked about this before, like in our workshop, is I will occasionally just track to the minute. Like when I'm usually working, I am keeping a detailed account of where my hours go. Now, I have to do that for certain clients, so that's part of the reason I do it, but I also want to be able to look and go, how much time did I spend, you know, doing this, what was the payoff, and blah, blah, blah. So I do that kind of thing. But sometimes I'll do it just to figure out where is my time going. And when I do this to figure out, am I using my time effectively, I will include what I'm doing when I'm not, you know, quote unquote, on the clock. And I'll find out, like, oh yeah, I feel like I'm not getting anything done in my free time because last time I checked this out, I was watching 4.5 hours of TV a week, and now I'm watching 12 hours of TV a week. So if I want to do 7 hours of work, 5 hours of drawing, and 2 hours of writing, there's a pretty good candidate of where that time is going to come from.
Right.
But a lot of us don't do that. A lot of us don't think, well, what am I going to not do to fill that time? And so the first step is figuring out what your goal or goals are, and be very clear and specific. The second thing with that is making sure that those goals are achievable by you, which means they're not dependent on somebody else giving you the okay. And the example I use is, the goal is I want to write, you know, Spider-Man, or I want to write a Superman comic. Well, that's great, and it's a great goal to have, but that might not be your primary goal, because ultimately it's up to an editor or somebody that's completely out of your control.
Right.
What you want to do is say, I want to make my first comic. That's in your control. I can write my first script. I can draw the pages. I can do that. All I have to do is put the work in. And so you want to make sure your goals are achievable and determined by you, so which also is helpful because you don't get as frustrated, and you don't just bang your head against the wall.
Right.
So that's sort of the second step. And then the third step is figuring out where that time is going to come from. So for a lot of us, you know, and the thing is you know, we're not going to go, I'm going to watch zero TV, right? So it's going to come from different places. And the time when I really learned all about this was when I had kids, and I was going through that typical, you know, first time father thing where it's like, wow, I'm, you know, my social life is going out the window, and when am I going to have time to do anything? And, you know, I was a stay at home dad for the first year. And what I found was that, no, I wasn't going to stop reading comics, stop reading books, and stop going to the movies. But the time I was going to spend doing that was reduced.
Right.
And so what happens was I cut out all the mediocre stuff, right? So instead of watching movies that I'm like, yeah, that looks like it'll be fun, maybe, you know, now I go see movies where I'm like, that looks really good.
Right.
You know, so you just sort of cut out the stuff that's less good, and you go with the cream of the crop. And that's when I sort of realized about, you know, the whole time management thing. But if you're going to set a goal, that's step one. Step two is make sure it's a goal that's in your control to achieve. And step three is make a plan. Figure out where that time is going to come from and be proactive in deciding, I'm not going to watch this week's episode of, you know, the Gilmore Girls. For a really old thing. You know, they're doing a new miniseries. Oh, you might have to not watch the new Gilmore Girls series, Joey.
Well, there are some things we might disagree on.
Yeah, I have a feeling I'm going to watch that. So anyway, I mean, you just have to make those decisions. You know, I mean, I was a huge film buff, and I would go see, you know, I would go see films all the time. You know, and I just don't do that anymore because last year at this time I set goals for myself, and going to the movies was one of the big things that I cut way back on.
Right.
And because of that, and because of other choices similar to that I've made, I've been able to achieve those goals. You know, last year we had this conversation, and I think I was saying, hopefully this is what I was saying, is I was going to focus, I was focusing on getting some creator-owned projects up and running, and I've got four of them up and running this year. Now, none of them are coming out yet, but that's fine, and they're mine. And I'm working on them, and I'm creatively more fulfilled this year than I probably have been for 5 or 6 years.
Wow.
You know, and so, but it was the same sort of thing. I had to carve out the time, and I had to pull back from some things that I was doing before. And some of those things were, like we were talking about, they're like the hobby things. I tried to make sure I wasn't pulling back from time with my kids, like in the evenings. But I pulled back from things I was doing after they would go to bed, and I was just sitting around watching TV that I didn't really care about, pulled back from that, and would work a little bit in the evenings. And I pulled back from stuff that, frankly, I was making money on. So, you know, and that conversation is always fun. Hey, honey, I'm going to make less money and do more work that has no guarantee of ever returning a profit. How's that sound to you? You know, I've got a great partner and life here, and so we worked it out with a plan that we were comfortable with. But those really are the keys. The last key to goal setting is sticking to it. Don't just say it, come up with a plan, and then go, well, I'm not going to do it. You know, set a schedule. Know when you're going to spend that time, and spend it. You know, get as specific as, I used to watch this TV show. When that TV show was on, I'll be doing this instead. You know, be as specific as you can and set yourself a schedule and stick to it. I mean, it's the sticking to it thing that is really important. And I get reminded of this sort of, you know, little by little approach, you know, in different ways all the time.
And it is that building of a habit that makes it move into something that you, quote, do, where it becomes part of your life. And I think the exercise metaphor is the right one, because I think so much of what you do with that is building that habituation and knowing, going into, all right, I got 30 minutes today. What am I going to do? Well, I like to run for 20, and then I'm going to do upper body for 10 or whatever, and combining those into a way that that makes sense and feels, you know, like it will build you to where you want to go. And I don't know if I've shared this on the podcast or even you and I have talked about it, but a friend of ours is a personal trainer. And with the baby and work, I got so far off my exercise schedule that I said, you know, Kendall, I would like to come to you because here are my goals. And I laid them out for her. And I said, I think I'll have this much time and I would like to do these. And, you know, she kicked my butt more than I have had it kicked in years, because that's what she does. And it was great. Like, it was, here's what you could be doing, here's how you could do it differently. Having that tune-up from somebody that does what you like to do or what you're trying to do is also a good thing. And I know that not everybody might have friends that are at different parts of their careers, but if you do know people through social media or in person, or you're planning on going to a convention, and somebody has the career that you would like to have, not that you're trying to write Spider-Man or Batman, but, you know, they do creator-owned work, they seem like they're having fun and putting out the kind of comics that you like and that you are trying to make or that you're making, talk to them and find out how they got there. You know, I think you can't underscore enough what it's like to have friends in the industry at different parts of their careers or different parts of their making comics life. It has such an impact to get to know people a little bit and to be able to have those conversations where they can tell you, you know, kind of straight up, like, oh, well, if you're trying to do this, you know, you're going to have to, you have to spend some time writing. You're going to have to improve your art these ways. You could definitely get there, but it's going to take you a year before you're ready.
Yeah, I mean, you're hitting on a huge component, which is sort of, you know, look around who you're spending your time with, which doesn't mean that I think people are spending time with bad people, but if you're spending time with people who sit around and aren't real active, then chances are you're not going to be real active either. So part of it is finding that community. You know, I was saying before that I have this great partner in my family with my wife, but she's not really into comics, never has been. There was a night when I was still working at Marvel where we were out with a bunch of, you know, big name Marvel people, and we were all sitting at a table, and she realized that she was sort of really, really bored with the conversation. Nice people, she liked them, she was happy to be out, but really, really bored because we were all just totally geeking out at this point. And she was like, there are people who would pay like $1,000 just to sit at this table, and right now, like, all I want to do is get up and go get a beer. To which I responded, get up and go get a beer. but she's sort of a good example. Like, she's not into comics, she's not into the you know, the geeky nerdy stuff than I do, but she's great because she is active and she is supportive, and that's so important to have, to surround yourself with people that are in your corner. That they don't have to be into the thing that you're into, but they have to be into you succeeding and you becoming the person that you want to become or achieving the things that you want to achieve. I of course have plenty of other friends that are completely into the geek stuff. And they're people I sort of talk more with about, like, well, I'm thinking about doing this thing. What do you think about that project? You know, and so you want to form that community around yourself. And again, you know, I'm not saying, like, kick your friends to the curb if they're not into this stuff. I'm saying just make sure that you've got a community that wants to lift you up, right? That wants to see you succeed, that will help you succeed. If you say you need help, you need to take time back from some of the things that you want to do. You don't want your friends to make you feel guilty about that. You should go, oh, you know what? I know this is important for you. You got it, and we're here for you. You know, and so those are the people that you want to be around. And so that community aspect is great. And, you know, we all have different sort of, you know, sub communities, right? I've got the people I go out and I have a few drinks with or go to the movies with, and I've got the people that are deep into the comic stuff, and I've got, you know, parents of kids who have kids the same age as my kids, and we all talk about different things. But you you want that general support, and you don't have to go all in to do something that you love. You can do a little bit at a time. Carve out 2 hours a week. Carve out 3 hours a week. Just do it like we talked about. Carve it out. Know when it is, and start working on it. That's the trick to goal setting. There's no shortcut on that. It's just you got to do it.
It's always the road work. And one thing I will add to that, for me personally, whenever I sit down, whether it's doing video work or it's doing comic work, I try to, just on a post-it note, write out what the goals are for that moment, just so I keep that in mind and don't 10 minutes later go, I wonder if people are talking about Star Wars on the internet, and then get distracted and lose track of where I'm trying to go, because everybody, I think, for the most part, does this. 10 minutes turns into 20 minutes. You go, oh, I'm 20 minutes behind on what I should be doing. What's my priority? Oh, crap, I forgot to return that email. You can get so bogged down sometimes, if you don't have that clear kind of goal set for the micro. As much as it's about the micro, like, what do I need to do for my morning? What do I need to do for my afternoon? What will get accomplished? And looking at the week as a whole, looking at the month as a whole, and then, of course, you know, however else you want to break it down. But for me, in terms of business and in selling creative services, I need to have that level of structure with a calendar, with post-it notes, and then all those sort of subdivided into individual projects. So I try to keep notes. I try to keep an idea of where things need to be and how, and keep a running tally of where everything is, so I can kind of put it aside, you know, make that a 5 or 10 minute job of, it's not spending that much of my time thinking about, because I got it all captured and I can put it away and come back to it. For me, that's been a huge benefit.
Yeah, that's a good point too. I mean, you get to the end of the year and our tendency is to think of the big goals, but you're right. And I struggle with that too. I mean, just yesterday I was, you know, in the middle of like a good work spell, and I had my list of things I was trying to do in the afternoon, and sure enough, I got tagged on Facebook on a video that was like 12 minutes long, which led to another video, which led to getting into a conversation with people on the internet about Terminator Genesis, none of which did my work any good. And then 5 o'clock, 5:30 rolls around, my son comes into the office wanting to do something, and I have to tell him, no, son, I spent too much time dinking around on the internet watching videos, so I have to keep working.
You know, that's kind of the crux of it, though. And whether it's your son or your daughter or your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend, or just, you know, at the end of the day going, oh, it's 5 o'clock and I got to do other stuff. You know, for me, that is kind of it. And especially now having a kid, you realize that your time carves out so differently, and I think it doesn't have to be children. It can apply to so much of your life, what carves it out so differently. But, you know, we all have that tendency, I think, to want to go that way, and to be able to kind of contain it is a habit you have to build.
Right, and doing that kind of, I mean, sometimes there's, and honestly, there are days where you're like, you're just not going to get a lot done. You're just mentally not there, or whatever,
right.
And you kind of got to factor that in a little bit. Like, if you plan every day to the detail, you're not going to get, you know, and you do that for your entire week, you're never going to get it all done, because at some point you're going to need to relax. Your brain's going to need to do something else. And of course, there's also the stuff that comes up during the week. So I try to plan, you know, about 75% of my day. I try to have planned, you know, the day before, allowing 25% of either I can get ahead or something else comes up, and, you know, there's an ebb and flow to it. So, but I agree. I mean, it's all in being realistic. I mean, rest and exercise are the two keys to being productive, as far as I have found.
Right.
And planning. Rest, exercise, and planning.
And water. Hydration.
Hydration. Yeah, I've been suffering from headaches lately, and I finally figured out it's because I'm not drinking enough water. But, yeah, I mean, I think we've kind of covered the goals, I think, in a way that's approachable. I mean, hopefully, if you're listening to this and we're saying the same thing, you know, again, hopefully it's sinking in and it's something you should do. But definitely try and take note. I mean, maybe you're not going to track to the minute the way I did, but take note of where are you spending your time and how much enjoyment are you getting out of it? And would that time be better spent just doing the stuff you want to do with comics? And work it out.
work it out. If you have a question you'd like to hear answered, a topic you'd like to hear discussed, you can email info@comicsexperience.com. You can also tweet at Andy and his sharp new avatar on Twitter at Comic Experience, and he will get that in the mix. Until next time, have a great new year and keep making comics.